In order to support our show, we need the help of some great advertisers. And we want to make sure those advertisers are ones that you'll actually want to hear about. But we need to learn a little bit more about you to make that possible. So go to podsurvey.com/goodfootball and take a quick anonymous survey that will help us get to know you better. That way, we can bring on advertisers you won't want to skip. Once you've completed the quick survey, you can enter for a chance to win a $100 Amazon gift card. Terms and conditions apply. Again, that's podsurvey.com/goodfootball. GOODFOOTBALL. Thanks for your help.
Hello, friends. Welcome back to another episode of the Roto-World Football Podcast. Say it with me. It's the most important podcast in the universe. My name is Josh Norris. We're happy to have you back here for the Week 14 slate, trying to help you win your first round matchup. Later on, I have RotoPat joining me so I can pick on his rankings like I do each and every week. And by the way, check out Roto-World Live this Sunday, noon Eastern, Facebook.com/RotoWorld. It'll be me, Rich Rebar, Evan Silva, Roto Pat, Ray Summerlin for 45 minutes answering all of your start sit questions. I have some, you have some, so get them in. And to start off, as we do each and every Friday/Saturday, it's Evan Silva. Evan writes the matchups column, as you know, over at RotoWorld.com. Every single fantasy relevant player is covered. Evan, I ask you each time before this episode, who should we talk about? And to my joy, maybe you just did this for me to make me feel good. You wanted to start off with Steven Anderson.
Well, you know, for full disclosure, it was actually your suggestion.
True.
But I definitely like Steven Anderson this week. So Bruce Ellington, not going to play due to a concussion. Braxton Miller on the doubtful side of questionable with a concussion. CJ Fedorowicz, definitely out with a concussion. Will Fuller is due back from his cracked ribs. Don't know if he's going to be a full-time player. I mean, they were so shorthanded. The Texans were so shorthanded at receiver last week that they were using Andre Ellington, Bruce's brother, at slot receiver. He's going to play slot receiver again this week, and it's probably going to be Will Fuller and DeAndre Hopkins, of course, on the outside. And Steven Anderson is going to play. I would expect him to play almost every single snap. He played 84% of the snaps last week. He saw a career-high 12 targets, turned him into 5 catches for 79 yards and a touchdown. This is a very good matchup against the 49ers. If you go back and look at just their last 7 games, they've given up big games in 6 of those 7 games. Redskins tight ends had 7 for 102 against them. Cowboys tight ends had 5 for 61 and a touchdown against them. Eagles tight ends, 7 catches for 69 and a touchdown. Cardinals tight ends, 3 for 39 and a touchdown. Giants tight ends, 6 for 31 and a touchdown. Seahawks tight ends, 5 for 63 and 2 touchdowns against the Texans. What did you like about Steven Anderson coming out of college?
Yeah, and he was an undrafted free agent coming out of Cal, obviously with Jared Goff there. And I mean, he was just a move tight end, right? He was a receiving tight end. A lot of people were excited, if you remember, with Thomas Duarte. You remember that name coming out of UCLA?
Yes.
Bo Sandland as well, out of Montana State, the former Miami guy. And both ended up going the 7th round, so it's not like the NFL loved them as much as, you know, people on the outside seem to. But I mean, I was a fan of Steven Anderson. And again, he ended up going undrafted. He was a good athlete as well. But I just thought that with how spread out they were in that offense, obviously, that he kind of had this mindset of he had a right to get open and, you know, was a very, very solid receiving tight end in the short and intermediate areas. And, I mean, you mentioned, what, 12 targets last week? I mean, we rarely see that from the tight end position.
Yeah, and he actually did line up in the slot quite a bit last week. I think he'll probably do that a little bit less. I bet he will. Continue to see snaps in the slot. But he's going to be a big part of their passing game. I mean, I would fully expect that. I think that, you know, DeAndre Hopkins is the one, and he's right there in the mix to finish second on the team in targets against the 49ers. And You know, the Texans have shown a willingness to let Tom Savage drop back and throw a lot of passes, particularly last week. Now, they were playing from behind, but Tom Savage had 49 attempts and threw for a career-high 354 yards. I mean, Steven Anderson is a guy that's close to min – well, he is min price on FanDuel. He's a little bit higher than min price on DraftKings. And he's a guy that you can pick up right off the waiver wire and use in a tight end slot and feel okay about it.
Can I ask you and pose you this question? Steven Anderson versus Greg Olsen this week?
I would go with Steven Anderson.
Okay.
Just really don't trust Greg Olsen's health. You know, I know that they have continually said that they held him out as a precaution. I don't think that really happens. You don't see guys miss games as a precaution. He suffered an aggravation of his foot injury 2 weeks ago. He's going to go up against a Vikings defense that hasn't given up very much production to tight ends this year. And we don't know, you know, I even a couple weeks ago, you know, I didn't think he looked right when he was out there. So he's in a prove it mode. We did see Steven Anderson produce in the recent past, and therefore I would go with him. And if Greg Olsen looks good this week, great. I know to use him next week.
Yep. Okay, let's move on to Gio Bernard. We just talked about volume in the form of targets for Steven Anderson. We should expect a full workload this week for Gio Bernard against the Chicago Bears.
Right. I mean, the only other back that they have that's really in the mix for any kind of touches, they haven't added a back off the street or from their practice squad, is Brian Hill, who was drafted by the Falcons in the fifth round, struggled in the preseason, didn't get any touches last week. I mean, after Joe Mixon went out, it was all Giovanni Bernard, and he looked excellent. And Giovanni Bernard has shown us in the past that while he's not, you know, a 16-game, 300-touch kind of workhorse player, but he's shown us in the past that he can do it for a few games for sure and be very effective in that kind of role. And this Bears defense over the course of the season has – I mean, it's starting to take a turn for the worse, I think. Eddie Goldman, their big nose tackle, missed a bunch of practice time this week. They've lost Leonard Floyd and Pernell McPhee from their front seven. Danny Trevathan, inside linebacker, has been in and out of the lineup. Jarrell Freeman, you know, was gone a long time ago. Their defense, just in terms of talent, is not what it was earlier in the season. They haven't given up big numbers to running backs by any means, holding them to 3.9 yards per carry and the fifth fewest receiving yards. So if you just look at it on paper, it doesn't look like the best matchup. But I think that this is a game where the Bengals can have a lot of offensive success. Andy Dalton, as Joe, our buddy Joe Goodberry has shown, you know, many times, he tends to fare better against uncommon opponents. And the Bears are an uncommon opponent. And then you look at A.J. Green's matchup. The Bears have started to get shredded by number ones over their past five games. Marquise Goodwin, Alshon Jeffrey, Marvin Jones, Devontae Adams, Michael Thomas have all had big games against them. So I think that the Bengals can be in positive game script, and I think that Giovanni Bernard can push for 20 or more touches.
I have a call to make this week between Gio Bernard, Jamal Williams, and Kareem Hunt. I won't put you on the spot here, Evan, but I'm certainly going to get that answered on RotoWorld Live this Sunday. Again, nooneasternfacebook.com/RotoWorld. By the way, Vincent and Victor and Vladimir and Vaughn and Vance and Vernon, please, if you have not subscribed to this podcast, no, please, just do it. I know you're enjoying it, so go ahead, hit that subscribe button. If you're already subscribed, leave a review. Evan, it is week 14, and this is the first time we have talked about Larry Fitzgerald all season. That's not true to all those that listen to this podcast. Tell me why, once again, Larry Fitzgerald continues to produce even with Blaine Gabbert as the quarterback. And maybe that's not fair, Evan, to Blaine Gabbert, by the way, because he's played probably better than the expectations were when the Cardinals signed him this offseason.
Yeah, I would definitely agree with that. He's looked good since the preseason. He's looked comfortable in Bruce Arians' system. And the reason that he has a lot of comfort throwing between the numbers is because that's where he feels most comfortable throwing the ball. As we saw last year with Jeremy Curley, and this was the reason why we wanted Blaine Gabbert to play and not Drew Stanton to play. And Drew Stanton did support a good game for Larry Fitzgerald when he had the opportunity to. But we wanted Blaine Gabbert to be in there. I mean, this is, you know, it's a perfect marriage, and we have seen that in every game that Blaine Gabbert has appeared in this season. Larry Fitzgerald is the guy that he's pushing the ball to aggressively. And we can also look at the slot receivers that have gone up against the Titans so far this year. Doug Baldwin, 10 for 105 and a touchdown. Jeremy Maclin, 8 for 98. Brandon LaFell, in a game where he played 75% of his snaps in the slot. He's played a lot more slot in the second half of the season. 6 for 95 and a touchdown. Brandon LaFell. Alan Hearn, 6 for 82 and a touchdown. Braxton Miller, playing a bunch of slot last week at 71 yards against him. Jarvis Landry, 5 for 44 in a touchdown. So if we can get something in that range from Larry Fitzgerald, we'd be very pleased. Larry Fitzgerald, of course, runs 65% of his routes in the slot. The Titans have given up the third most touchdowns to wide receivers on the season. And the Titans may be without Logan Ryan, who has played slot corner for them this year. He's been in the concussion protocol now. I believe he did return to practice on Thursday, which is usually a good sign, but he's still got to pass through a few more steps to be officially cleared for the game. So just a lot of things to like about Larry Fitzgerald, you know, not to mention his to-date production. I mean, he's a top five fantasy receiver on the year.
Dang, it's pretty good stuff. Okay, Marquise Goodwin, will close it out with this name. Someone who's always been viewed since coming out of Texas as a great athlete, and many times that is connected with vertical big play receiver. But now, Evan, he's not exactly being used like that with Jimmy Garoppolo at quarterback.
Well, I mean, I'm not ready to say that he's not going to be used like that with Jimmy Garoppolo at quarterback, but it is true in Jimmy Garoppolo's first start that he was not just used as a vertical streaker. Which I think was very promising because he had a very productive game. He was heavily targeted, 8 targets, caught all 8 for 99 yards. And he did not rip any big plays, but we know that that's in his toolbox. We know that that's something that he's capable of. We also know that the Texans are very vulnerable to big plays on the perimeter. They've given up the most 40-plus yard receptions in the NFL this year. They've given up the 10th most 20-plus yard receptions in the NFL. So, you know, we're dealing in a small sample here with Marquise Goodwin and Jimmy Garoppolo, but I thought that they had a connection. You know, Jimmy Garoppolo looked excellent in his first start and not in an ideal environment at Soldier Field. He showed a connection with Marquise Goodwin and your boy Trent Taylor, and he targeted them combined 14 times. They combined for 14 catches. And about 150 yards. So, I'm sorry, almost 200 yards. So, I think that there are a lot of things. You know, Marquise Goodwin is a guy that probably is owned in some leagues or in probably over half of redraft leagues that are still, you know, competitive and active. But I think that he's also probably on the waiver wire in some instances. And I think he's a guy you can pick up and plug and play. I think he's very much in play due to his big play ability in daily fantasy and due to his matchup. I mean, I would be excited to play Marquise Goodwin this week in pretty much any format. I don't think he has a great floor. You know, he's never been that kind of a player. But certainly if he's going to be getting 8 targets, and these are going to be more accurate targets than he was seeing from C.J. Beathard and Brian Hoyer. You know, I think that he will end up having a decent floor in the final month of the year.
And I know Reeves pointed out in the worksheet that, 49% of Jimmy Garoppolo's passes in New England were in the middle of the field and 51% last week. And again, we're dealing with small sample sizes here. But at some point, you know, defensive coordinators are going to start seeing that and maybe shift their defensive philosophy or coaching or outlook or whatever and somewhat overload the middle and maybe try to force him to throw outside the numbers. Just a guess, and who knows if coaching even happens that way. But just from reading that, that was where my brain initially went. All right, Evan, thank you so much. You can check out Evan's waiver column. You can check out Evan's matchups column over at rotoworld.com. You can also check out Evan on RotoWorld Live, which is this Sunday, noon Eastern. Right after the break, we have RotoPat. I'm back here with the man himself, Roto Pat. Pat, I want to start off with this question, as always, non-football related. Take me back to when you were Patrick. You were not even Roto Pat. It hasn't even been conceived yet, that name, okay? Maybe kindergarten, first grade, second grade. What was Patrick's, young Patrick's, favorite lunch?
Favorite lunch, huh?
Like when it was packed for you for school.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
My favorite lunch was a peanut butter sandwich, no jelly, a little baggie of nacho cheese Doritos, and then a baggie of four Oreos. As you can see, my parents were very concerned with a nutritious lunch for me.
Did little Patrick have like a favorite snack? By the way, I'm sure you still have the same exact haircut as you do now.
No, it was like short. I was short.
Or
it was
like the Golden Graham things. No, anything like
that. I was an Oreo man.
Do you have a certain way of eating your Oreos?
Always dunked. Always dunked. And so you dunk them and then you leave it in. You dunk the entire cookie. You put the whole thing in and you don't take it out till the final bubble has come up. You know how you dunk it? Like those bubbles start coming? Like yeah. It's got to be as soft as possible.
Got it.
And that's, yeah, that was. That's how I did it.
That's one way to learn patience, I guess, is just through Oreos.
If you don't wait, the Oreo will not be as good. Gotta pay the cost to be the Oreo boss.
I did some weird stuff growing up. Like one time, one of my friends ate a Three Musketeers with eating like all of the chocolate on the outside first, and then the inside.
And I did
so
a lot.
I did it once. It was weird.
I did a lot of really weird stuff. I'm going to say something like so gross.
Okay, give it to us.
Something I liked growing up. Well, I honestly can't even believe I would share this, but and it sounds like absolutely revolting to me now. I used to eat sandwiches that were just like four or five slices of extra sharp cheddar cheese. Like off, not like sandwich slices, but you know, like off a brick.
Yeah.
You know, you like slice them off the end, like four or five of those and Miracle Whip. And that was the entire sandwich.
I will tell you that we had like a quote unquote salad bar in like the first through fourth grade stage. And my salad would just be like the shredded cheddar and carrots. And I would just dump a whole bunch of vinegar on it.
Oh, my God.
And I loved it. And I still love it. I mean, I don't eat just that anymore, but you can ask anyone at the NBC Sports headquarters. I eat salad every day, and it just has vinegar on it.
I went to a small Catholic parochial grade school, and our, not to knock it, but the lunch options were pretty bad. We didn't really have a ton of variety, so I couldn't even have concocted like a crazy kid salad bar salad, even if I wanted to.
But everywhere, I think the universal language is taco salad day was the best day.
At St. Peter's Elementary, it was pizza day. We did like the pizza. And what did you say? Taco what?
Taco actually, salad day.
We I was going to say, okay, we actually did love Taco Bowl day, so you're
yep.
right.
Yep. All right, Pat, let's get into football, I guess. You have Alex Smith, and by the way, you can find Pat's rankings over at rotoworld.com. Pat has Alex Smith as quarterback 2 versus the Oakland Raiders. Obviously a cake matchup, right? However, like Alex Smith started the season exceptionally well. First 6 to 8 weeks, whatever it is. But in the last like 2 to 4 weeks minus last week, he really, really, really let us down. So why did last week's performance already put him in your good graces?
Well, you know, it's late in the season. Maybe not as many people are listening, so I feel comfortable getting a little darker. This is a kill me now ranking, basically.
Kylo like Pat right here.
I still think Alex Smith should be benched. I know a lot of really smart people think that's a hot take, but I mean, the Chiefs drafted Patrick Mahomes because in the playoffs last year, Alex Smith, you know, once again demonstrated like there's a hard ceiling to your football team when you have Alex Smith. And to me, he hasn't done anything this year to disprove that. But, you know, I don't know. Maybe there's something in the narrative that he only plays well, like when his job's on the line, because last week was like the first time all year that the Mahomes talk, you know, was like not being taken like super seriously still, but was like a legitimate storyline all week. And he had a good matchup last week, came out and ripped it. So, I mean, he's probably still playing like his hair is on fire. It's another amazing matchup. He's already ripped the Raiders once this year. The Raiders have stopped Geno Smith and Paxton Lynch this year and nobody else. So, and I feel like I'm saying this every week, but it's been kind of, you know, like a weird transition year at quarterback where like a lot of the older veterans are struggling. A lot of the young, like kind of like the new blood is struggling. And then like there's just like a lot of tough matchups this week. And so, you know, Alex kind of reproved himself last week and has an amazing home matchup. So just kind of by virtue of all that, we have Alex Smith QB2.
Yeah, I mean, with that said, I'm playing Alex in cash. But it's one of those where I just wonder, is last week kind of infiltrating our brains and making us overlook the previous 2 to 3 games? But, I mean, once again, to start the season with 6 and 8 games, he was one of, if not the most consistent quarterback out there.
It's a kill me now ranking.
Got it. All right, Kylo Pat. Leonard Fournette, running back 7 versus the Seattle Seahawks. It has kind of been a down 2 games here for Leonard Fournette, right?
Been a down 4 games for Leonard Fournette.
I mean, he had like 50-something yards, like 54 yards last week, but found the end zone, which kind of saved his day. Other than that, he had like 20 yards last week. Look, the Seattle Seahawks, since trading for Sheldon Richardson, have been outstanding against the run. I would, you know, who knows how this game's going to go, right? They might have positive game script, they might have negative, or it might be even throughout. But what gives you so much confidence in ranking Leonard Fournette as a guaranteed top 12 running back?
Nothing. Nothing actually gives me confidence in it. This is another one. I hate this ranking. I despise it.
You're welcome.
This is like, teach me how to get it lower. Like, somehow I'll take a class on like how to rank Leonard Fournette lower this week. But to quote David Chappelle, quoting Rick James, or maybe it was actually Rick James who said it himself in the thing, a workload is a hell of a drug. And Leonard Fournette's got it, and he's going to have touchdown opportunity, I think. So I've got him there. I mean, it's like, who do I put in front of him? Do I put Devontae Freeman on a short week ahead of him? You know,
better as whatever, Lamar, not put Kareem Hunt ahead of him. I'm
say, do I, yeah, do
done.
I put Lamar Miller, Kenyon Drake, Marshawn Lynch, Samaje Perine, Alfred Morris, Carlos Hyde? It's just like, where do you turn in these tough times? And so, yeah, it's just all about the workload and T's and P's to my Leonard Fournette ranking.
You shift over to Gio Bernard for the same exact reasons. That's what you do. All right, let's go. Let's go to Doug Baldwin versus Nelson Agholor. This might be a personal conundrum of mine this weekend. Actually, Zach Ertz playing on Sunday kind of throws a wrench in all of this, honestly. Doug Baldwin, you have a wide receiver 25, obviously against those Jacksonville Jaguars. Nelson Agholor against the LA Rams at wide receiver 39. A drastic difference, but Pat, I don't see that much of a difference here in terms of these two players, in terms of their Sunday outlook to me.
I don't know. It's tough. I mean, this is kind of just about Doug Baldwin being a better player than Nelson Agholor. You can't parachute in for one good game, you know, every 4 or 5 weeks. And Doug, obviously, in a prolonged slump. But, I mean, it's not even like slot guys have, like, an excellent matchup against the Jags. But, I mean, he probably does have the best matchup. And I think, you know, especially with Russell Wilson presumably running for his life, he might look where he's most comfortable. And that has traditionally been Doug Baldwin. And I just think a better player, basically it comes down to him being a better player than Nelson Agholor.
Which is fine. It's one of these where I do wonder, because I think that Jalen Ramsey shadowed Larry Fitzgerald in the slot this year.
For like
at
a
times.
Few snaps, supposedly. Okay. It wasn't like the whole game.
So I do wonder if he does that for Doug Baldwin. But I will say,
that would be bad.
If Zach Ertz was going to be out, I would be like all in on Nelson Agholor this week because of that middle of the field area. Let's close out with T.Y. Hilton. Pat, I can't tell you how many people have asked me about T.Y. Hilton this week, like around the office. Should I play him? Should I not? I looked it up, and in half point PPR leagues, he does not have a single game, but from 9 to 20 points, right? Everything is either below that or above that. And it's been far more below that than above that. So, again, Buffalo Bills, Tre'Davious White almost certainly is playing. I'm not saying that's a good Bills defense, but at least they have their top cornerback. So what should we see from T.Y. Hilton outside, possibly in the weather, in Buffalo?
It's a very good question. He's averaging only 58 yards in 6 road games. The number's all the way down to 34 if you throw out his 175-yard outburst against the Texans, which came a week after they had lost Deshaun Watson for the season. So the Texans were like kind of the walking dead that week. Hilton, this is another one of those things. He doesn't really have like a 0 point floor. Like he's not like Sammy Watkins where he'll have like a zero catch game. Like no matter what, he'll like always get targeted like 5 or 6 times and catch like at least 2 to 3 passes. So he has a low floor, but it's not like a 0 point floor. And it's just like, I'm kind of like hitting on themes I've had all year, but there's just only so low you can rank a guy with T.Y. Hilton's upside. So kind of just hedging and like that, mid-range wide receiver 3 range, like wide receiver 28 to 32 range with him. And that's Tre'Davious White having a good season and is back this year, but this week, but it's, like you kind of alluded to, not like a great Bills defense, certainly one you can rip a big play or two on. So not saying I really expect T.Y. Hilton to do that, but it's certainly within the range of possibility for him in any given week. And there's only so low he can go.
You can check out Pat's rankings again over at rotoworld.com. You can check Pat out, myself out, Ray out, Rich out, and Evan on RotoWorld Live, which is noon Eastern this Sunday. We'll do our best to help you win your first round of the fantasy playoffs. That will be on facebook.com/RotoWorld. Again, that is RotoWorld Live. So for Pat and for Evan, I am Josh. Be sure to subscribe to this very podcast if you enjoyed it. We'll talk to you all soon. See ya.